When you're shopping for gifts this holiday season, remember that Amazon.com is filled with more great stuff than Tyson's backpack. Get Black Friday deals all weekend long when you visit the Black Friday homepage at robhasawebsite.com/Black Friday and get the jump on the Cyber Monday deals when you go to robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday. And of course, you get the best deals and support Rob as a podcast when you use our links or click any of the Amazon banners at robhasawebsite.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's more full than Tyson and Jervis after an immunity challenge, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving weekend to everybody out there. I am Rob Cesternino, and we get no Thanksgiving break. We are like the people that work at the Walmart. We are here bringing you podcasts over a four-day weekend, and are very thankful to be getting the opportunity to do it and spending some time with you here on this special holiday weekend. We have got a very good show for you guys today. We're going to speak with one of everybody's favorites, Andrea Belke. Andrea, don't call me Beliki, is going to be here with us live. We're going to be talking to her. She's with her family in Wisconsin this weekend. And then my very good friend, Jessica Leese, is going to join us to answer your voicemails here. She's best known for being my partner on the Amazing Race podcast, but she's actually a big Survivor fan as well. So we're going to talk to her and get her take on everything that happened. All right. So we did on Wednesday night a big Survivor know-it-alls. We did that on West Coast time because Steven was traveling to be with his family for Thanksgiving, and we really appreciate Steven moving his schedule around to make it work. So if you didn't catch our Survivor know-it-alls for this week because it was on later, you can catch that at robhasawebsite.com. And if you subscribe to our podcast, you never have to worry about missing any of it. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Now, we have not had an exit interview yet with Vetus. That's going to be on Monday. CBS wasn't working on, or the people that do the interviews weren't working on Thursday for the Thanksgiving holiday. So they're going to do that on Monday. The only wrinkle is Monday is a very bad day for me at work. So I am not going to be able to personally do the exit interview myself, but Josh Wigler is going to fill in for me. Josh Wigler, of course, is my co-host for the Walking Dead podcast. He did the voicemails with us a couple of weeks ago, and he writes a Survivor blog on robhasawebsite.com. So he's actually going to do the exit interview with Vetus this upcoming Monday on robhasawebsite.com. And thanks to our friends at hover.com for sponsoring today's Survivor podcast. Hover makes domain registration simple. Now, we're going to talk with Andrea, and if you want to see any of Andrea's interview with myself, we're going to do this via a Google Hangout. So if you want to check that out, you could either watch the video on robhasawebsite.com or go to my YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. All right, everybody, we have a very special treat for you guys. Thanksgiving weekend, Black Friday, we are joined by one of the all-time favorite guests from Rob Has a Podcast. She's a two-time Survivor now. Here she is, the one and only Andrea Belke.
Hello.
Yeah,
I'm a favorite guest, Rob.
You're one of the more popular guests that we have. People are always asking for you, and I'm very happy to have you back with us, Andrea.
Well, thank you.
And Andrea is joining us live. She is back home in Wisconsin this weekend, right?
Yes, I'm back home in Random Lake, Wisconsin. Just got back from hunting, doing things on the farm. It's very different from New York City.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to watch the video of this, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube to see Andrea and all the pictures of horses she has at her house.
Yeah, one of the first things I do when I come home is have a photo shoot with horses.
What, do you guys breed horses?
Yeah, we have, I mean, I think we have 30 horses now, 30 or 40. We used to have a few stallions, but we just have them for fun.
Whoa. There's so much we didn't know about you.
I know. I come from a big farm, hunting, fishing, farming.
Yeah.
The whole shebang.
Andrea, If you had to guess, when do you think was the last recap podcast you did on Rob Has a Podcast? The last time we sat down and recapped an episode.
Did I? I know that I did. I remember doing, well, the first time I talked to you was when I was voted off of Redemption Island.
That's right.
And then did I do, I know I did Nicole Has a Girl Cast,
yes,
which was a ton of fun. And then I did a Miss Survivor interview where I did the worm and I ended up,
yes,
making the neighbors underneath me very pissed because, yes, I almost broke their ceiling. I don't know if I did a recap episode.
You did. The last time that you and I sat down and recapped an episode, it was September 15th, 2011, over 2 years ago.
Which, what was it? How is my memory?
I'll send you a link to the Survivor South Pacific premiere with Andrea Belkey. And we talked, and little did we know.
Yes.
You were talking about a guy who was ultimately going to win a Survivor season you were going to be on in John Cochran.
You're right, because I was a big Cochran fan
past
when his
tense?
Season started.
Oh, no, even in the present
now.
Tense.
I was very involved in that season because I know I was doing the power rankings for Gordon Holmes, and then I was also writing a blog for Johnny Fairplay site.
Oh,
and I was very involved and active in that season. Yes.
Yeah, and look how far you've come now.
I know.
No, Andrew, now what are you doing these days? Tell everybody what you've been up to.
A lot of Snapchatting.
I guess
a lot of Snapchatting. But no, I'm in New York. I work for AskMen.com, so I host a daily show. Actually, I host two shows, The Daily Brief and then Big Shiny Things, where we talk about tech stuff, different things on Kickstarter, Indiegogo. So that's what I do, my daily job. And then, you know, like I'm working on a few different projects, I'm writing a web series, I'm working on something I'm pitching, and a lot of traveling, too. I'm traveling almost every other weekend.
Wow, fantastic. How do people watch your stuff that you do on Ask Men? Because I've seen a lot of it, and it's very, very good. I'm full honesty, I think you do a great job.
Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you.
Oh.
They used to post them more on YouTube, but now it's just on the site. So if you go to AskMen.com, you should see my face in places. I have to do better about posting. I kind of took a little hiatus, but I still do daily shows, so.
Okay. Now, if I go to AskMen.com and you're telling people, shouldn't you be on AskWomen.com?
Maybe I should create that site. I know. It doesn't really make sense. Maybe that should be my next adventure is AskWomen.com.
AskAndrea.com.
or AskAndrea.com.
Or go back to Johnny Fairplay's website.
Yeah. Oh, the good old days.
Any of those things. All right, so let's get into this episode, because there's a lot of interesting reasons to talk to you anytime, but especially on this season, because we have the Survivor Redemption Island, and you got your Survivor start on a season with Redemption Island.
What a great season that was.
Yes. Now, people seem
top in the charts.
And not only that, you went to Redemption Island and you even came back into the game from Redemption Island.
Yes. Until this season, I was the only girl to come back from Redemption Island. But I do have a long history with Redemption Island because it was the first season. And, you know, I got voted off. There were six left on the island and I got voted off. And then I beat the final. Won the final duel to come back in.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a big deal.
And it's a good time to get you also because we're going into the final six right now. So there's a lot there. And so, you know, let's start off with, let's talk about this episode this week, because, you know, we have this whole thing going on with Tyson, and we had this great plan, which was that Hayden and Caleb and Katie were going to get Sierra, and they were going to vote out Tyson this week. And they told Sierra the plan, and she went back and told Tyson. And I feel like a lot of people have made comparisons to the kinds of things that went on during Survivor Redemption Island, where people were telling Boston Rob the plans.
You know, actually, this season reminds me of a much more exciting version of Redemption Island, where there's this guy, Tyson, who was kind of like Boston Rob, and everyone knows he's running things, but they're afraid to make a move because if you make a move too early and someone tattles, then it's, you know, it's your butt on the line, which is what happened. And as soon as it started to unfold and Hayden and Caleb came up with this plan, I was so excited because that would have been so cool. I mean, I'm a Tyson fan, but everyone would have went nuts if he got blindsided with an idol. And they told the wrong person, which is kind of what would have happened in Redemption Island if I would have pulled Grant aside and said, hey, let's get Rob out right now. Let's pull in Natalie or Ashley. They probably would have told, and it would have been a very similar situation.
So did you agree with Sierra's decision to tell Tyson? Like, what would happen if you went and told Boston Rob the plan? Does that make him want to keep you more and want to take you to the end?
Well, it kind of happened in my first season with Natalie and Ashley, because I know Ashley had mentioned to Natalie, hey, you know, no matter what happens, let's us two girls stick together. And Natalie tattletaled to Rob, and Rob obviously trusted her more. But with Sierra, it's such a weird thing, because I know everyone's upset with her decision. And so I'm trying to put myself in her shoes and think, okay, here she is. She's stated many times she doesn't trust Hayden or Caleb. And it doesn't seem like she likes Katie, which is kind of weird. I think there's stuff that they're not showing us. And so she doesn't want to work with these people. And I think she feels like she's playing such a loyal game to her little alliance. So when things were shaken up, does she go with, you know, Tyson, who she trusts, which maybe she's wrong to trust him, or with two people that she thinks might just vote her off next anyway?
Well, do you
so I'm trying to give her like a little more of the benefit of the doubt.
Do you think that she did a good job of then locking up second place potentially?
She might have, but Tyson also stated that he is kind of scared of her anyway. So I think one of two things is going to happen. Either, you know, she goes to the end with Tyson and she gets second, and then she looks back at this move and thinks, oh, I should have done something. Or Tyson blindsides her, and then she looks back at this move and thinks, ah, I should have done something. I just see one of those two scenarios playing out.
Now, I want to talk about the hidden immunity idol, because there's a lot of interesting stuff to talk about with the immunity idol with you specifically. Now, let's talk about Tyson. Let's start here, where the whole thing where Tyson played the hidden immunity idol at this week's tribal council. Now, on your season, there was some things that were going on with Boston Rob. He had the hidden immunity idol the whole season. And at some point, he showed you guys he had the hidden immunity idol, right? But they didn't show that on the TV show.
Actually, he never showed me. He showed Natalie and Ashley. So when I got back from Redemption Island and I lost that initial challenge when I returned, my whole thing was, okay, girls, this is the time to get Rob out, because everyone knows that he's running the show. And little did I know that they knew he had the idol. So going with me wouldn't have done anything anyway. So that was their argument. At the time, it didn't make any sense to me, but he had told both of them that he had the idol. So yeah. They were kind of stuck at that point, too. They couldn't really go against him because he's going to play the idol.
Now, as somebody who has been voted out of the game with a hidden immunity idol, sorry to bring up a sore subject. did you agree with Tyson's decision to play the hidden immunity idol the other night?
I think it was a good decision, because it's one thing to be paranoid and play it just because of your paranoia, but his name was being thrown around. Like, he heard that Hayden and Caleb might be plotting against him because they thought he was. So I think if your name is brought up, I don't know. I mean, obviously, and now I have my own opinions of the idol. I just know I would have played it. And I think it was smart of them to play it.
Yeah. So you feel like it's better to waste it than to not have played it.
I mean, it's, yes, because otherwise you don't play it and there's all these question marks that you're left with. I mean, if I would have played the idol at 7, who knows? The entire game always changes in those last 6-7 people. I mean, just playing it once, I would have been safe, and then, you know, I could have somehow finagled my way to the end, won a challenge here and there. So I think that's a good choice.
Could Tyson have done more with the idol than actually playing it by showing it to certain people, a la what you were talking about with Boston Rob?
I mean, that's what I was wondering. Like, I was actually curious if he had shown Jervis. It was pretty obvious he hadn't shown Sierra, because she had that look of, wow, you have the idol? So I was curious if he'd shown Jervis or not. I don't know, though. Like, what do you think? He could have, I guess, went, he could have, if you'd have told people, oh, by the way, the idol, I don't know if that's going to make them not vote for them anyway, or if they're going to be like more scared of him. I'm actually confused because I thought about that too.
I don't know. It's really under different circumstances. Sometimes it works. It seems like whenever Malcolm gets his hands on an idol, he's always telling people that he has it. So I don't know. Actually, that's not even always true, because sometimes he did that more in Survivor Philippines than he did on Survivor Karamoan. So, yeah, I don't know. All sorts of different permutations. Now, a lot of people brought your name up this season as well, talking about when there was a lot of people looking for the idol. Now, there was the whole thing with the public giving out of the idol clues, and people would go and dig the idol. And now that people feel like are taking a page out of your book, Andrea, and just following people around when they go and look for the immunity idol.
Well, why don't I get a name drop? Like, Russell always gets a name drop. Cochran gets a name drop. I mean, come on. I think I was probably the first person to openly follow somebody. I know that, you know, people have seen people find idols before, and didn't Sandra follow Russell? But, you know, when I followed Malcolm, it was very blatant. I was basically telling him, I am going to be your little sister, your little puppy dog. I'm going to just watch you everywhere, because I knew if he found the idol, I was in trouble. And I saw that happened this season, and I was like, that's what I did. But yet it was, I felt bad, because it's one thing for me to follow Malcolm, who's a gamer and this big guy, but there's three guys following poor little Tina. I kind of felt bad.
What do you want to call that? Do you have a name for that? I know somebody in the questions asked what you want that to be called.
They asked if it was either, I think you got Belkied.
You got Belkied? Do you want to call that?
Yeah, why not?
Sure, why not? The difference was that you stopped Malcolm from finding the idol, or he couldn't find the idol, whereas Tina was looking for an idol that had already been found.
Yeah, I mean, there was a big difference there. So I think watching it, I think viewers felt a little sad because she was trying so hard. And then when she was voted out, she reached in her bag like she found it. It was so cute. I went from not really liking Tina, I don't know, maybe because she just thought too sweet older lady. But then at the end, I think, you know, she's there and she loves her daughter. It's kind of cute.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you like the blood versus water format?
I really do. I think it's a really awesome idea. And then also it just creates so many different, you know, places for drama and emotion at Redemption Island. I think Redemption Island, my season, it was okay, but people come in and, you know, there's not as many emotions involved here. A lot of fireworks happen at Redemption Island. So I really like it because it makes you think, especially if you've played Survivor before, you watch it differently because it's a new twist and you're thinking, who would I bring? Could I vote them out? How would this work? Are we going to be considered a threat? There's just so many more layers to an already awesome game.
Yeah. Now, for Hayden and Caleb this week, they went back and they tried to get Tyson to vote out Sierra. Do you think that would have been a smart decision for Tyson to keep to go with the original plan, which was to vote out Caleb, or should he have then turned and voted out Sierra?
Well, it's interesting because I'm trying to think, does Tyson before he went to Tribal Council, I was trying to think, what is he thinking? Does he trust the boys or does he trust Sierra? And they didn't really tell us which way he was going. I mean, part of that is editing. But I think if he would have voted off Sierra, it would actually have been a bad thing, because then the numbers are what? Hayden and Caleb, who seem very tight. They seem openly like a pair, them and Katie. Then it's 3-on-3, and then who knows what's going to happen. So I think that he made the right choice by going with Caleb.
Yeah, I do too. I think that was the right call to get rid of Caleb. But how come everybody's talking about getting rid of Caleb and not getting rid of Hayden?
I don't really get that either. I mean, I would assume that Hayden seems like somebody that would, you know, he won Big Brother. He seems very athletic and likable. So I'm kind of confused why people would want to get Caleb out first. But I also am thinking too, if you're against Caleb in the final three, you can say, well, you've already won Big Brother. And sometimes people think that if they're playing that card, like, well, you've already won, so why don't you let someone like me, who, you know, have two kids. I'm a single mom. You know, I'm just trying to think of some other people's logic of why you'd want Caleb over Hayden.
Would you vote for somebody to win if they had one big brother?
If they played a really awesome game. But if I was deciding between two people that I didn't think played very well at all, I'd maybe almost go for the person that would need the money more. Not like you win that much for Big Brother anyway, but.
Yeah, we make $500,000. I'd take it.
No, I mean, I would take it too. New York is very expensive.
Boston Rob was this close to winning The Amazing Race. Had Boston Rob won The Amazing Race, would that have changed how people voted on Survivor Redemption Island?
Not our season. He put himself in such a great position to win because Natalie and Philip, you know, they didn't really do anything strategic the entire time. So he really ran away with that season. And Tyson seems to be playing a similar game, but it's just not as easy for him. I mean, it's going to be a struggle and he's pissing people off and, you know, he has to maneuver his way because people actually want to vote him off and are making moves. That didn't happen on Redemption Island.
What if Natalie Tenorelli had won Big Brother? Would anybody have voted for her?
Okay, maybe you're taking this like if you won Big Brother, I don't know.
Not too far?
Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it's just something I said.
Now you played with Boston Rob, and of course you played with Philip, who played by the BR rules. So is Tyson playing by the BR rules?
He might be taking a page out of the book. Well, you know, you can buy the book. So I'd be curious to
know. Do you own a copy?
I don't have a copy. I do have a copy of the Costa Rica job.
How is that?
It's good.
Yeah,
I haven't read it yet, but I told Philip I did. So I hope he's not watching this.
No, I'm sure he's not.
He's not.
Yes.
You know, Tyson is playing very, you know, a very similar game because he has so many people that are ready to tell him things and that really, really trust him. And, you know, a Jervis almost seems like a Grant and a Sierra kind of seems like a Natalie. And these people are just really want to go to the end with him and they think they can beat him for some reason. But the thing about Rob is everyone saw it more as a group thing. And even though people knew he was running things, but usually they didn't figure that out until Redemption Island, or, you know, you just wouldn't listen to what other people were saying. But here Tyson's getting called out on the island. You know, I'm surprised that people like Sierra aren't waking up a little more.
Yeah. Going back to Redemption Island, do you think anybody could ever come back from Redemption Island at that point where you came back and win the game?
I don't know. I mean, it'd be really hard to, especially, let's say Laura comes back. She got voted off twice. That's really hard to award someone, the sole title of Survivor when they don't really have that strategic element. And so I think it would be very difficult to win if you came back from Redemption Island, unless you're against two completely unlikable people.
Yeah, it would be tough because we saw Ozzy, and everybody felt like Ozzy had a great chance to win because he came back in and all he had to do was, you know, basically win those two challenges, and then he had all of the Savaii people that were on the jury, and he may have won the game. But other than winning the immunities, is there anything that you could tell people at that point in the game? It feels like everybody already has their alliances. You've already been voted out. Like, you would think, like, it would be great to just be dropped in the game at the final five and say, hey, me and you go here, me and you go here, and then let's vote this guy out. But it seems like nobody wants to change up what they're doing at that point in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I came back and I knew if I didn't win the challenge, I was going. And then I didn't win, and then I went. It would be so hard to convince people. You haven't been playing any strategy. Once you get to Redemption Island, you're just kind of chilling. And you're thinking, what will I do when I get back in? But more you're just trying to rest up for the duel. You're taking one duel at a time. So it would be very hard unless you came in and there was some top, there's four other people that just were floaters. But that doesn't seem like that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea of giving the clue away at Redemption Island? Did you like that twist? Would you wish that you could have given clues to people in the game?
I think that would have been cool if you could give clues to people. And they wouldn't burn them.
Yeah.
Like keep the clues or something. I get the burning because, I mean, for me, when I got the clue and then I got the idol, that just, even though there could have been a target on my back at that point, this isn't Karamoan, me having that idol was a huge red flag to everyone and they knew they could split votes. So the idol pretty much doomed me. But, you know, I just wish the people wouldn't burn the clues. So who started that again?
Brad Culpepper said burn the clue. What if you had burned the clue? If you had burned the clue, maybe you would have won Survivor Caramoan.
I know. Maybe I should have just threw the clue in the ocean.
Yeah. That would have been that would have been good. Let's talk about the decision to eat or compete. Now, I'm sure that if my memory serves me right, I feel like the immunity that you I think I'm wrong about this. Were you ever put in the eat or compete scenario in your two seasons?
Twice, yes. So my first season, it was the hanging upside down with the bars, where you're basically doing a kind of back bend and you're grabbing your feet. I don't know if that describes it.
Yeah.
I can't even do it right here, but we're hanging upside down on these bars. It was super painful, but we did the rock thing where you flip it over. And if it's one color, if it's black, you're going to play. If it's white, you're going to eat. And everyone, this was right after the merge. So there was a ton of people and everyone competed except for Philip and Steve Wright.
Yes.
And then I won that challenge. And then the other challenge was in Caramoan when we were floating on those doghouse things.
Yeah.
And that was where people could drop off, you know, if something was presented to them, like Eddie jumped off for donuts.
Right.
Of course. But then I won that one too. So maybe those are the challenges that I'm great at when there's food and I don't take the food.
Yeah, that's in my head. I was thinking of the doghouse challenge, but then I remembered that you got everybody started it, but then Jeff was tempting people, which is a little different
a little different, I guess. But, you know, if you're jumping off early, it's showing that you feel secure.
Yeah. Were you surprised that Sierra ate at this challenge?
I was. I was actually surprised that – I was really surprised that Tyson ate too, just because he's a returning player. But I was surprised that Sierra ate, but it just showed that she feels very secure. You can tell that she really trusts Tyson and her alliance of like Tyson and Jervis, because the fact that she ate shows that she had no clue that her name was even being brought up.
No, you know,
and at Tribal Council too, you could tell that she had no idea. So I think this is going to be a huge wake up call for her, whether or not it's going to really matter either way, because she might just stick closer to Tyson and Jervis in this case.
Yeah, and while I thought it was a bad move to eat, you know, in the secret scenes from this week, I was told that Jervis said, hey, once I saw that Sierra was choosing to eat, I knew she was with us 100%.
No, you're right. I actually saw that. That was on the Entertainment Weekly page. In a weird way, I guess, because those three ate, I guess it did show Jervis that she was with them, but it almost was a little too obvious for everyone competing. You're competing, your hands are bleeding, and you look over and see three people feeding each other. I mean, something has to go through your heads. Oh, I think those three might be working together.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. Let's talk about Jervis and Monica and Tyson, the three players who are returning back to the game. You know, everybody comes back into the game a second or a third time, you know, wanting to, especially if you haven't won before, change their story. And you're someone who I felt like last season came in with, you know, a lot of motivation, I felt like, to really, change the story of them as a player. So could you talk a little bit about that and what that's like to come back to Survivor and with, you know, an axe to grind?
It's very interesting because you get a chance and it's kind of rare that you get a second chance or a third. And I mean, I shouldn't say rare, but you know, you feel very honored to be asked back again, but you also feel like you have so much to prove. And I know my first season, I did not play the game I wanted to play. I just felt so stuck. There was times I could have done stuff, but it might have actually backfired. So I didn't feel like I actually got to play. So coming back, I just knew I had to play so much harder. And I also had more of a game plan. I knew the game I wanted to play. And you just feel like you have to prove so much to yourself, but also to the people watching, because to be asked back is an honor and you have to live up to that. And so you can tell that people that are returning, they just feel like they have so much to prove. And I think Monica is definitely proving. I'm not sure how much strategically, but you know, she said in that challenge, she wants to prove to her kids that there's more than one badass in the house, which I thought was really cool. You know, like I could imagine being married to Brad Culpepper and, you know, wanting to prove yourself, and you play Survivor and you didn't really play a good game, and then she comes back and she's on a streak. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Now, how about Monica? Because I feel like out of the six people left in the game, or maybe her and Katie, there's two people that we really just hardly ever talk about as far as these two people that are left in the game. So let's talk about Monica. She's won three immunity challenges here now, three individual immunity challenges. Does she have a chance to win the game? And if so, what does she need to do?
It's so weird because I think everyone was thinking when Hayden and Caleb approached Sierra and Katie, and it seemed like they were going to have this plan going, and then maybe Sierra is not going to go with them. I think everyone was thinking, well, what's Monica doing? And I mean, they never showed them talking to Monica or considering Monica. So I think that everyone can tell that Monica's with Tyson, and Tyson even said, you know, Monica's going to go with him because he's the nicest to her or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was the question again?
We're talking about Monica. I mean, doesn't it just feel like that?
I just have no idea what's going on with her. And if she gets to the end and she won a few challenges, if she's against Tyson, I don't think she's going to win because she doesn't have anything to talk about strategically. I mean, she hasn't really done anything, or at least they're not showing it.
Yeah. Can you almost imagine like Monica in the final three and people giving her basically like the Dawn Meehan / Sherry treatment of like, my question is for Monica. Monica, what did you do to get to this point in the game? What was your biggest move in the game? Because I don't feel like you did anything. Like, can you imagine that in your head already?
And then she's going to, you know, say, well, I came out here to prove to my kids, my family, and I won challenges. And then, it's going to be one of those kind of things where people love to be nasty. I mean, we've learned that through 26 seasons of Survivor, that the person that wins sometimes gets some crap, but it's usually going to be, like a Dawn. And nobody thought that Dawn was going to get it so bad. She's this loving mother. But if Monica doesn't do anything strategically, people are going to want to take their anger out on someone.
What did you say on the jury? You weren't bitter, right?
I think because I got voted off with an idol by people I really liked, and then I went to Ponderosa and it was just this big party and it was fun. I think I didn't have any harsh words. I think I asked, what did I ask? One of my questions was like, what kind of animal did you play the game like?
Sure.
I mean, I love Cochrane and Dawn, and I didn't really have anything negative about Sherry. So there was no reason for me to come up with something bitter and pretend I'm angry and upset when it was more of like I was kind of embarrassed that I got voted off on the night.
Yeah, no, you're one of the least bitter Survivor people out of anybody. That even, you know, there's a lot of people who would have got voted out with an idol and you know, get really, you know, they let it make them go crazy. And you don't seem that way at all.
Well, I was pretty upset my first season. And I remember saying something to Natalie, and I regretted that. I looked back and thought, what makes me better than her? Like, she made it to the end, I didn't. And yet I said something, I think I said something like, oh, her and Rob's relationship was kind of creepy, which I think at the time I was so upset with myself and that I didn't go farther. So you take it out on somebody. And I remember watching it and thinking, I really like Natalie. And, you know, it's my own fault I didn't make it farther. And I should have went for Rob way earlier. So I think after watching that and realizing that I didn't like how I came off, I just was able to appreciate Cochrane and Dawn for the games that they played.
Yeah. You weren't even bitter when you had to share exit interviews with Reynolds.
Yeah, I mean, I was more bitter about that than I was about getting voted off.
Yeah. It's hard.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it's hard when you get voted out in a double episode.
Yeah, I was upset that it was a double episode, but... yeah, whatever.
You should have got your own episode. They should have doubled. Right? They should have doubled up some of those pre-merge episodes.
Yeah, who cares about pre-merge?
Yeah. Let's go back to the Survivor Caramoan finale. What was your take on the survivors not on the stage?
I mean, that was ridiculous. it was such a terrible finale. It really was. Like, none of it made sense. And why, I can't even remember the reason that they couldn't be on stage for seating purposes. That's such, no, it was bad, and I felt awful for them. I mean, you know, they're sitting next to people's second uncles or something, you know, like they were like on the side. It was so weird. They're like glaring at us and we're like trying to feel bad. I didn't think it was cool at all. And then they spent a lot of time on weird things on the finale. Jeff talked to that little girl that looked absolutely nothing like me and she couldn't talk. I mean, she's probably a sweet girl, but then he came up to me and said, "This reminds me of you, Andrea." And I was like,
"Who said that? Jeff Probst?"
Jeff talked to this little girl in the audience.
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
a sweet girl, but I don't even know. He asked her a question and she was so nervous or something that she couldn't even really answer. And then he segued that into saying it was like me and then how I like flirt with boy. I don't know. It was just, the finale was just a weird one.
That was weird. It was a weird finale, but it was, it gave us a lot to talk about. So we were.
Yes, that's true. I'm wondering what they're going to do for this finale. Are they going to have the people on the stage?
Yeah. Well, didn't they say that it was that they couldn't fit?
I think they were saying they couldn't fit all the people on the stage.
Yeah. But then
there was like a rumor that, you know, maybe it's because Brandon wasn't. Well, there was excited.
Yeah, two conspiracy theories for that. One was that that they were worried about what Shamar was going to say, and they were worried if you had a live microphone that if Shamar starts saying like you know what, I got something to say, and it's like shut it down, we don't know what Shamar is going to say. Or and then number two was that they didn't want to call attention to the fact Brandon Hance wasn't there, or it might have been a combination of both those things.
I just want to be in that meeting. And they're like, you know, Shamar is going to go off. And then what are we going to do? I mean, I just want to know. I want to be involved in that decision process. But it's true. I mean, my favorite thing about Survivor is that people are always digging up conspiracies. And it's not just a straightforward thing in this community.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun to talk about. All right. We've got so many questions for you from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast. Let's jump into that and we'll talk about more about the episode and all sorts of other things. Let's start with our own Jessica Frey. She wants to know, who follows people looking for the idol better, you or Tyson?
Well, I would say me. I'm biased, but when I followed Malcolm, he actually stopped looking. So he kind of just sat on the well. And it was like a very playful, brotherly, sisterly thing. Whereas, you know, I mean, Tyson, he was effective, but he also had the idol. So I don't know, maybe Tyson and I will have to have some sort of, you know, idol follow or person follower, whatever, little competition to see who follows people better.
Maybe like a game of hide and go seek.
Yeah, I would challenge him to that.
All right. Eric Corbridge wants to know, Andrea, who would your three nominees for the Survivor Hall of Fame be for this year? And what do you think of Probst's picks of Cochran, Malcolm, and Coach? I don't mean to put you on the spot if you don't have three people off the top of your head. But let's talk about Cochran and Malcolm. Are Cochran and Malcolm, two of the people you played with last season, are they Survivor Hall of Famers in your opinion?
Well, how many people are in the Hall of Fame right now?
11.
There's 11 in the Hall of Fame right now. And did Jeff, he nominated them or they're in it now?
He nominated them. There's a whole process. I'm surprised from your time working with Gordon Holmes, you're not more familiar with the process.
You know, I've always heard of it. And that's something I never really investigated too much.
So it's
my bad, but I mean, I'm aware of it. I just never really looked into it too much.
So there's a fan vote and then there's an executive committee, which also nominates people. So it's like a 50-50 percentage. So Jeff Probst has nominated this year Coach, Malcolm, and Cochran.
Well, you're in it, right?
I am in it. So it loses a little credibility. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I mean, if you got in it.
Yeah, they'll let anybody
in. Why am I not in it?
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I mean, Cochran, I guess he won and he played a great game. I don't know if that's, I guess, is that Hall of Fame worthy? I mean, I guess he came off a great season. And I know, you know, Jeff loves him. So I don't, that does not surprise me. And I know Jeff loves Malcolm. So that doesn't surprise me. I just think Malcolm needs to play another season and dominate. Like, I feel like Malcolm actually, I think he would be a really great player because he has the physical aspect and he's also very, very smart. He just was dealt a bad hand in Karamoan. So I'd like to see Malcolm in it, but I feel like, you know, he should prove himself in like a third season and just take it home, which he could do.
Yeah.
And then Coach. I mean, Coach is a character I've always really liked. I've always enjoyed watching Coach. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know what people are all basing this off of. I just, those three people do not surprise me, because you know that Jeff adores those three guys more than he does anyone else.
Are you in the camp that Jeff favors the male survivors?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He never mentions girls, really, which I don't know. I mean, yes, it seems like there are a lot more notable men, male survivors, but I think there's still some women that prove themselves, and about, you know, Jeff never mentions the girls. It's just, it's kind of a bummer, but I mean, what are you going to do? Like, tweet at him every day about it?
I don't know.
What should we do? I mean, how do we get his attention?
I would not tweet at him every day about it. I think that would not go well.
He does actually respond to people. I don't think I've ever tweeted him.
Yeah, I don't. I feel like if anybody ever like tweets something nasty at him and like copies me in the tweet, I feel like, oh, Jeff, I don't hold me responsible for this.
It's so yeah, I know, right?
I feel like he's very punitive
on Twitter.
He probably
gets so many tweets, and he probably sees Rob Cicerino and thinks you're trash.
Oh, this guy.
I'm just surprised how many people ex-survivors that will tweet at him negative things, or like, notice me, or yeah, why don't you put me back on, Jeff? I mean, I don't.
Does that work?
I feel like that's very counterproductive. I feel like if I saw someone tweet that, I would say, okay, check you off the list. I don't know. It seems.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah, because it seems like, you know, at least like I the people who have done it, who tweet nasty things to Jeff Probst, it seems like those are all the people that you hear. Oh, that person's never coming back. They were there. That person is out.
But, oh, I did notice this. So Allie Polovitz, she was on my season, Kara Moen, she had tweeted him about the finale, and maybe she was kind of half joking, but I know she had tweeted him something or something negative, and now she's, you know, working in casting.
Oh, there you go.
So maybe we're doing it all wrong.
There you go. Trevor Chong wants to know, would you date someone who didn't make the merge, and specifically would you date me? Okay, so let's just take the first part of the question. So Kat this season said, oh, if you don't make the merge, nobody wants to date somebody who didn't make the merge. So, Andrea, is this a thing? Do you, as someone who works for Ask Men, if there was a website as Ask Survivors, is that an actual true thing?
You know, there's so much luck involved in Survivor. You know, I wouldn't, you know, cross someone off the list just because they didn't make the merge
and
to Survivor.
You would have dated Matt Elrod, and he got voted out twice. One time was that, I guess he did make the merge, technically.
He made the merge. But, you know, if you have other qualities going for you and other things, yeah, I'd consider it.
What is going on with Matt Elrod? I watched something like a year ago that was like some inspirational video that seemed like it was a religious thing him talking about like how his life changing experience on Redemption Island. Did you ever see that?
It was an interesting video, is it not?
Well,
but he's actually, I actually recently talked to him. We'll catch up every few 6 months or something, but he's in LA and he's actually doing some acting and modeling stuff, and he's doing pretty well.
Okay. I think didn't they say that they wanted to bring him back for Kara Moen and he said no?
Yeah, I think they asked him several times to come back, but I think he's one of those people that he didn't have the best experience, and I think when he did it, he was like, all right, did it once, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we'd ever see him again.
What if they tell him we'll bring you back and we won't bring Boston Rob back?
I, you know, maybe he would consider it if that was the case.
Okay. Daniel Rona wants to know, was there more to the Brenda Dawn Eric story than was shown? Do you think the edit of that storyline was handled as well as it could have been?
I mean, I was confused. I actually didn't know that Brenda and Dawn were as close. I knew that Brenda had found Dawn's teeth.
Yes.
But I didn't know that they had this moment in the jungle where Dawn was, told her, I will never vote you out ever. I promise on my family, or whatever she did. I don't know. I just know there was a conversation and they bonded like crazy that day. And they played it well because I had no idea. And that's why I was so shocked. And that's why when I brought up the idea to blindside Brenda, I didn't think it was an issue. I thought, okay, Brenda is amazing at these challenges where there's water and you have to be all zen. Like, let's get her out now while we can, or she's going to just, you know, win challenges. And everyone likes her because she hasn't really pissed people off. So I thought that's a great idea. And she's kind of my competition with those kind of challenges. And so that's why I was so shocked. I had no idea that they were actually working closely with Dawn.
If Dawn came
to... They should have shown us more of that in the edit, because it kind of came out of nowhere. We didn't really see Brenda on the show until the episode with the teeth.
Mm-hmm. If Dawn came to you and said, Andrea, can you help me find my teeth? Would you have looked for Dawn's teeth with the snorkel, or would you have wanted Dawn to quit the game?
Oh no. I was in an alliance with her at the time, so I wouldn't have wanted her to quit the game. I don't think I would have been able to find the teeth though. I'm not really good underwater like that. I probably would have tried, but it failed. And then, you know, Brenda probably would have jumped in and found it right away. So I'm kind of glad that I didn't try. But actually, I should have looked for the tea. Because if I would have found the tea, I could have held that against Dawn.
Yeah. Well, it didn't do a lot of good for Brenda.
Because then I would have, but I wouldn't have had a speech about taking your teeth out. How weird. That's a first for Survivor and probably a last.
Well, let's talk about that. So, like, are you guys all at Ponderosa and Brenda's like, guys, listen to this. I'm going to tell Dawn that she has to take her teeth out at Final Tribal Council. And everybody's like, no, you won't do that. Like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Like, did you guys know that this is coming?
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if I should. I don't know. I guess I'll just say it.
Yes.
Actually, Philip kind of had that idea. Like, Philip in Ponderosa just hates people. Like, before I got there, he apparently just would not stop talking about me and how he hates me and blah, blah, blah. Then I got there, we made up, and then he couldn't stop hating on Eric. Like, hated Eric with a passion. And, like, it was the most amusing thing because he's just, like, ripping on these people. And then when Eric came, like, everything was hunky-dory. And then he would not stop just making fun of Dawn. It just he bounces from one person until they arrive. And then he's friends with them and just happy Philip. And so he just hated Dawn. And I think he did come up with the idea and said it to Brenda. And then everyone was like, whoa, like, you're actually going to do that? And I remember being like, wow, she's not going to actually do that. And then she was like, yes, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that. And she probably, like, you know, switched up a little bit or kind of put her own little twist on it. But that was so intense. It was one of those things where I was glad it was happening because it was dramatic. But I also really loved Dawn, so I felt awful. But I was just glad that it wasn't me on either end.
I mean, do you think that there's a chance that this whole teeth thing could, like, really change the Final Tribal Council? Like, do you think that we will potentially see speeches such as, like I'll, you be in the final three, and I'll be the juror. Andrea, when you voted me out, I felt really stupid. And so now I want you to feel really stupid. So I want you to slap yourself in the face 10 times and say, I'm an idiot, over and over again, until I say stop, or you're not going to get my vote tonight.
That's, like, amazing, actually. Because the truth of it is, even if you do that, even if I'd be like, I'm stupid, like, even if I would do that, like, you still wouldn't vote for me.
Yeah, because Brenda...
it didn't change Brenda's vote at all. So it was just her getting that last little jive at Dawn.
I think the right thing is, like I'm say, Brenda, I'm not going to take my teeth out. I'm sorry. Look, the game's the game. I'm sorry I did that to you, but I'm sorry. I realize I don't have your vote anyway. I got to move on. We got to move on.
It would make tribal councils even more, or final tribal councils even more interesting. Like, what else can you take out? I mean, I don't know what else there is, but
yeah. Could you take your weave out?
Take out those nappy extensions. Like, I don't know.
Tyler Wallace wants to know, who would you have awarded second place to if you had second place votes? So who would get your second place vote, Natalie or Philip?
I know, Natalie, because Philip would have came to the tribal council and said, hey, I was acting all nuts and crazy because I knew that then I would be brought to the end, and that was my strategy. Instead, he came to tribal council and said, vote for Rob. Like, he actually said those words, vote for Rob. And so why would you want to vote for someone that just totally laid over and died? So I would have actually voted for Natalie because she did have a good answer to my question. I had asked her something about how she would, you know, betrayed Ashley and went for Rob, why she thought that was a good idea. And she said, you know, she impressed me with her answers. As Philip, just telling people to vote for Rob, that's not going to make me want to vote for you.
Yeah. And what about Sherry versus Dawn?
Dawn.
Dawn. Okay. No love for Sherry?
Sherry didn't really, in my experience, do anything very strategically. Sherry's a smart lady, and she did what she could. But I had worked with, and, you know, I mean, I get a kick out of Sherry. She's a funny lady. I don't know if you've met her, but she's very funny. But Dawn, I'd worked with her through the entire game. And even though she was having such a hard time out there and pissed people off, she still was playing as strategic as she could. And I would have voted for her.
All right. Ron Chan wants to know, true or false, besides Survivor, Dallas is the best show on TV right now.
I mean, it's okay.
It's okay. Just okay.
I mean, I have to watch it now because I'm dating someone on it. But it's actually a pretty good show.
Yeah. Are you allowed to say who you're dating?
I think so. I mean, I don't know if he's watching. Maybe he will. Josh. My boyfriend is Josh, and he plays John Ross on The New Dallas. And so that's why I've been traveling a lot, because I go and visit him in Dallas. And yeah, we're going to be going on 6 months in a couple days.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Long distance. I don't know if you've ever done long distance.
I have, yes.
I would not wish it on my worst enemy. It's hard.
It's very tough. Nicole and I, for a year and a half, were long distance when I first moved to California. It's very tough.
She was in New York?
She was in New York. We met on Long Island, and then I was out in California for a year and a half before she ultimately moved out. And it was tough because you know, that there were all these women who were trying to throw themselves at me, and it was very difficult. But Andrea, you and your boyfriend actually led to a very funny conversation at my house recently, because Nicole was trying to tell me that we were watching Saturday Night Live last week, and Nicole was telling me that your boyfriend was hosting Saturday Night Live when it was announced that that Josh Hutcherson was hosting Saturday Night Live. Of the Hunger Games, and Nicole's like, "Yes, this is Andrea's boyfriend." I said, "Oh my God, this is," and realized there's some confusion.
Yeah, no, it's funny because people. So, Catching Fire just came out, and so my Josh, keeps getting all these tweets. Wow, you were so great in that movie. You're so hot at Josh Henderson. And he's like, like a picture of Josh Hutcherson. And it's like, obviously not him. So he keeps getting tons of tweets, which is so confusing. I'm like, if you're tweeting this guy that you're in love with and was awesome in Catching Fire, like, wouldn't you come to see it's the right guy? It's kind of funny.
Yeah. that must be very very confusing. That that's why that some that Josh Hutcherson needs to be the Josh that sucks.
Yes, he has to know his place. Okay,
that's the only way to do it. Okay, so Gavin Costello wants to know, if you were Tyson, would you want to take out Sierra or Hayden next? Put yourself in Tyson's shoes.
Well, I know he's mentioned that he thinks Sierra is a little sketchy, and that Sierra scares him a little bit. But I think Sierra coming to him and telling him the information saved him. And if it's tricky, but I think I would still want Hayden out.
Yeah.
Just because I think so. I think I would still want Hayden out, just because, you know, Hayden's going to be a bigger threat in the end than I think Sierra will at this point. Like right now, Sierra just pissed off all of her original tribe for flopping. And so I think she'd be a lot easier to beat in the end.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to look at it like two moves ahead, because it's like, okay, well, if I take out Hayden and then it's Sierra and Katie are left, could they do anything? Could they potentially turn Monica against me? And so or you say then, or if I took out Sierra, could Hayden and Katie do anything together? And I kind of feel like that Sierra and Katie would be more likely to work together, but I still don't even think that's that likely.
I don't, yeah, it's really weird because you would think that Sierra and Katie would have this bond. They're two daughters. They pretty much were, yeah, they were on the island together for a long time. I would think that they would maybe want to work together, but you can tell that there's something there. Even that weird hammock scene where Sierra got the information that Katie doesn't have the idol. You can just tell that Sierra doesn't want to work with Katie. And I don't really know what Katie wants to do because they don't really show her much.
Yeah, she's so invisible, Katie.
I know. I was wondering, you know, when she's going to stir things up because she knows that she's one of the next people to go. So I'm just kind of, I want her to try something, like stir something up or go to Sierra and say, hey, like we need to try to do this. Because right now she's going to be one of the next people gone, but she keeps sneaking by.
Good. Let's talk about Katie again. Nathan Bayless wants to know, would you say that Katie is in the Eddie position this season, the last member of the Minority Alliance who got kept around so that bigger targets can get voted out? What would you say about this?
It's a little different, but I mean, Katie's, I think, more strategic than Eddie. I think almost anyone is, bless his heart, but
nobody's like
kind
Eddie.
Of a similar thing where, you know, they might just keep bringing her along because they know that they can always get rid of her. They can always get rid of her, which is kind of what Tyson is doing to Monica as well, where I think he's telling people we can always get rid of her, but I mean, it's a similar thing because Eddie was brought along for so many votes and had no clue what was going on.
Matt Borowski wants to know.
Can you get my, the plug for this, the charger? It's in the other room. We're talking for so long.
I know. We used all your computer's power. Matt Borowski wants to know, how did Stealth R Us 2.0 compare to the original Stealth R Us? What do you prefer, Stealth R Us 1 or Stealth R Us 2.0?
Oh gosh, I mean both are just terrible. But I mean, Stealth
you're
R
the
R Us
only
1,
person besides Philip to be in both Stealth R Us's.
Divinity and the Eliminator.
Yeah. What nickname do you like better?
Divinity. So. It just sounds so precious. Like Divinity is still like, yeah. But the Eliminator is a fierce name. I mean, I had to try to live up to that.
Yeah. So you liked it better.
I think I like the Eliminator is more fierce.
Did you feel like Philip was adding too many people to Stealth R Us 2.0? Did you feel like it wasn't special anymore?
See, that's the thing is Stealth R Us 1 was our group and it was just that. And then Stealth R Us 2, there was... He just started giving everyone names. He gave Eric the Silent One and Brenda Serenity. And so by the end, everyone had a nickname and it just wasn't even the same anymore. And it was really hard to function because we had so many people that had their own agendas that it was, you know, they talked to that. Like, it was just so many more conversations that happened in Stealth R Us 2. It just got so confusing.
All right. Patrick Hagen wants to know, if there was a Survivor Andrea versus Francesca season, would Francesca be the first one voted out? Now, first off, are you in Francesca? What is the relationship like now?
I knew. Is this why you brought me on? You just want to get the inside scoop on wine and cheese crew.
I do want to get the inside scoop on the wine and cheese.
That's why you brought Sophie on. That's
guilty,
why you talked to Steven.
Guilty as charged. But I feel like Steven is always talking to me after the episode. I feel like he doesn't go and watch the episode with the wine and cheese.
No, we haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. No, like, it's all good. I think at the time, yeah, tensions were high and there was some bad blood, but now, I mean, everything's decent. I organized a premiere party at one of my friend's places and I invited everyone in New York, except I forgot Billy Garcia and I felt bad. So
oh, everybody always forgets Billy Garcia.
He wasn't on my email
Not
list.
Not me.
I think he's, you know, doing he's in some band or something. So I think he was busy anyway.
Yeah.
But, I didn't think that Eliza or Francesca would show up, and they both did. So it was really cool, you know, and we're not going to be all chatty and get pedicures together, but, like, it was really awesome to see, okay, cool, like, we can all be civil, and we realize that so much time has passed, and it's not really a big deal, you know?
All right. Well,
I will
good.
Say the funniest thing, though, because that was crazy. I never would have anticipated how much, you know, heat I would get, especially on Twitter and social media after – that vote off. It was, I did not expect it. I knew something would come. I didn't know it was going to be that bad. But it made it through the season, and then it was funny because at the finale, you have your dressing rooms, and you're put in with, it's usually two people, so it was Hope and Allie, and the three amigos were in the same room, and it was Francesca and me.
Somebody had a sense of humor.
A dressing room. And we looked at each other, and we're like, are you serious? So we had to go into the dressing room. We haven't talked all season. We both, like, don't like each other at that point. Or, I mean, I didn't care, but I just knew there was, you know, it's so weird. So we're stuck in a dressing room together for, like, half an hour. It was, like, the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, like, funny. But it was, like, who in CBS, like, doesn't know what's going on? Like, why would they put me and Francesca together? But it was funny. And, like, you know, it's nice, though, that we can all hang out and it's not, like, such a awful thing anymore.
So you were happy Francesca had to sit in the audience?
No. No, I mean, I'm
not going to share a dressing room with someone of the audience people.
No, it's just funny because of all the cast to put us two together.
Of course.
Funny.
Yes. Somebody.
But no, I mean, I've never, I don't know. I'm just someone who doesn't hold grudges, and I don't really, I just let things go. Like how I was when I got voted off. I was just like, oh, good job, you guys. So I'm glad that there's not as much tension between us.
Now, Andrea, I'm concerned also. Now, here's this guy who's your stalker, that he's always making videos about you, that he wants to know, John Thomas, it's a French name. I can't. Jobine Complet Pardon. He wants to say, with her long historic with several Canadian stalkers, isn't she afraid that one day she'll end up in court like Alec Baldwin and the French Canadian actress who pretended she knew precisely where was Alec's scar? Do you get freaked out by the Andrea Belkey stalker?
I mean, I'm in New York. New York's a big city. He doesn't know where I live. I think it's going to be okay. But I did watch the latest video, and none of that was true.
Your stalker did not, John Thomas, he did not say that you should hit Andrea for Secretary of State?
I don't remember tweeting that or him tweeting that. And I definitely don't have any idea what he's talking about with Laura Bonahem or whatever. Like, the whole thing was weird. I was just
you didn't get mad.
How he got the hearts. I did not get mad that he was
stalking Laura Bonahem.
Did not get upset by that. I would prefer that. But no, the videos are they're funny videos. And actually, if you look him up, which I'm sure, I don't know if you have, he's a comedian in Canada, and he, you know, seems kind of legit. So when you watch it, you have to think, okay, he is being funny, but also he does have a picture of me. A cutout picture of me on a little stick. So it's kind of a weird thing. So like, oh, that's a joke.
And I'll post the video to that on Robin's website. Did you get jealous when he made a collage of Penner being sad photos?
That's so weird. I mean, it's weird. It's funny, but it's so strange. I don't get it.
Yeah. All right.
So he does have a poem about me being from Wisconsin. So that it's a pretty funny poem. I think I might even have it on my website. I was just like, this is the best but creepiest video I've ever gotten. But, you know.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Nothing that's appropriate. So I think we'll wrap it up there. Andrea, thank you. I hope it's not going to be 2 years before we do another podcast again.
No, I hope not. Keep having me back.
All right, so check out.
I love it. I always like talking to you. It's always a fun time.
Thank you. So you're the one. So Andrea, thank you so much. Check out Andrea. What every day on AskMen.com?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because the site, like, everything's all over the place. But maybe I'll start reposting them to my Twitter and fan page. But yeah, it's daily on AskMen.com, and follow me on Twitter and all that jazz.
Yeah. Well, all the best to you in your career. You're doing great, Andrea. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Andrea Belkey back on Rob Has a Podcast. And Andrea Belkey, just one of the great guests that we have lined up for you here at the end of the Survivor season. Just two more regular Wednesday shows to go. And I think we've got two pretty good recap podcast guests. I'll tell you who we have lined up for next week at the end of the show. Okay, so a little bit of a Thanksgiving weekend tease, but no tease you will ever get from these guys, Hover.com. They make domain management simple. Now, let's say you were a Survivor player on this current season and you were looking ahead to the finale and you were saying, hey, I think I need to get some grassroots momentum behind my cause of please let me sit on the stage. .com. Now, of course, now you may see that you want to register please let me sit on the stage.com, but you know that that domain might already, somebody might already have that. Maybe it was Brandon Hance. Actually, he had please let me sit at the finale.com. But let's say you wanted to say get please let me sit on the stage.com. You would go to hover.com because these are the people that are going to make your life easy when you're trying to register a new domain, because hover.com has the best customer support in the industry. They have a no hold phone policy and they are always going to be honest and upfront with you, which is more than you will be able to say when dealing with any other survivors in or out of the game. So that is a big plus when you deal with hover.com. They take the hassle out of everything. They can also help you discover what would be a good name for you. You could type in a few keywords about your blog or your business and they can come up with a good domain that would suit your needs, whether it is a .com or a .net domain, which a lot of people don't always think about, but .net domains could be a great way to go if you can't get the .com of what you want. Plus, they have valet transfers, which also, let's say you decided maybe 6 months ago before the finale, you were going to register, please let me sit on the stage at the finale with somebody else, and you realize, oh my God, these guys are screwing me over. They want $100 to renew my thing. You can bring it over to hover.com and they will get you all set up. So they are the best. Use them anytime you have to register a new website. They've got a great promotion going on. You could save 10% on your new domain name when you go to hover.com. Use the promo code ROB when you get there and you'll save 10%. It's the easiest and quickest way to buy a domain name, hover.com. All right, everybody. For our voicemails and social media segment, we are going to be joined by one of the great friends of Rob Has a Podcast. She is our chief correspondent of The Amazing Race, but little known fact, she's actually a longtime huge Survivor fan as well. Here she is, the amazing Jessica Leese.
Thanks for having me, Rob. This is going to be really exciting because I think nobody I know watches Survivor. I think I've talked about the show with maybe five people in my entire life. So this will be fun.
Well, everybody knows you as only an Amazing Race columnist and partner in the Amazing Race podcast. But how far back does your Survivor fandom go?
It goes from, well, I was abroad the first season.
Hey,
and
Jessica,
I came back.
We are equal opportunity that you are. You are a woman.
So I came back in like mid-July and everybody was talking about Survivor and I started watching it then. So I can't say from the very beginning, but I can definitely say from season one. And the first time I saw Richard Hatch, I said, that guy's going to win. So yeah. I was pretty proud of myself.
All right. So you are. And how have your Survivor predictions been since then?
I'm like 1 for 26.
Okay. So you had beginner's luck.
And I guess so.
And that was about it. Now, this season of Survivor is the first time we've seen pairs compete, although in The Amazing Race, the whole show is about pairs competing. How have you enjoyed seeing that dynamic of the pairs of competitors brought over to Survivor this season?
Well, to be honest, I think it's actually injected some life into what I think was a dying show. Like, it's much more exciting to see people have to negotiate the best position for themselves as well as their loved ones.
So you would like to see every season of Survivor as blood versus water?
Well, that would get boring, but I'd like to see more of them. I'd like to see one where it's blood versus water and everybody is a new player.
Yeah. Well, I think that Jeff Probst has said that they are definitely going to do more blood versus water in the future.
Well, I'm excited for that. I think it's a good twist, and it made Redemption Island not a complete black hole of suck, which it was.
Right. Now, if they did a Survivor Blood versus Water with all new people, would it be, you know, in the Amazing Race, you know, we learn so much about the dynamic of the people. But let's say like you had a couple who was married. Would it work to do Blood versus Water where you never got to see the actual couple together before they were separated on different tribes?
I think it would. I think you'd have to inject some confessionals of people being like, oh, I wonder how my husband's doing over there. I miss him a lot. And they could do the thing they did this season where they put everybody with their loved one for one night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it would be, it wouldn't be completely jarring. Like, we don't have to have a predetermined relationship with those people. But that being said, I think it would be kind of cool to, we've had Big Brother contestants on Survivor. We've had Big Brother contestants on The Amazing Race. We should bring a team from The Amazing Race on to Survivor Blood vs. Water.
Well, that would be a good idea. Which Amazing Race team would you volunteer for that?
I don't know. I can think of a few that would be fun.
Yeah. Tim and Marie.
Tim and Marie would be epic.
Sure.
We could drop the Afghanimals on the island and just leave them there.
Sure. I think it would be interesting. I wonder, though, if you had a couple who was like a strained relationship a la Otis and Vetus this season, and you never saw them together, would that have any sort of impact at all, that they're saying that they're strained, but we never see them together? And I think it would also be hard to imagine, like, okay, we know who our 10 returning players are, but once we get to a point where it's like 10 people, like we have 10 random people and who their partners are on the other team, I think that would get very confusing.
Well, I don't know, because we've seen, like, they've done similar things on Big Brother, haven't they? I mean, you know, I don't watch Big Brother, and I'm going to have to start now because I work for you. But they've done that before where they've brought people in with their exes, or they've brought people in with long-lost family members. And it hasn't gotten terribly confusing, I don't think.
Yeah, that's fair. They did in Big Brother 6, it was pairs. And then they've done in Big Brother 4, it was exes. And in Big Brother 8, it was like... people who were frenemies or something like that, where it was like they had Dick and Danielle and people who hated each other. So, but they were at least in the house together and they were playing at the same time, as opposed to, you know, if you had a season where it's like, okay, here's Colton is on this team, but Caleb is on the other team, but we don't know who either of them are. Would that get confusing? And the answer is, I don't know.
I think we don't even have to care about the relationships until there's a merge. So
yeah.
I think it could be straight Survivor, and maybe they don't even tell people it's Blood versus Water that they know someone in the other tribe.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see how they would do it. I say if you're going to do Blood versus Water, I say do it with returning players again.
All right. I think we've had enough returning players for a while, though. I'd like to just...
What's wrong with returning players?
I don't think there's anything wrong with returning players every now and then, but every season it gets old.
No. It sounds like you have something against returning players, Jessica.
I don't have anything against returning players specifically. Maybe some of them, but
yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some of the voicemails. Of course, it's Thanksgiving weekend, but the listeners of Rob as a Podcast were good enough to share with us their voicemails and tell us what they were thinking about a very exciting episode. Jess, did you like this episode this week?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, you guys thought it was the best one all season, and I got to agree with you. I think it was.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's right. That is right. It was the best episode of the season. It was very exciting, and I think we're set up for a very exciting stretch run here of the final three episodes, if you count the finale of Survivor Blood versus Water. All right, so let's jump into this, and let's start with a question from Humberto, and I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but...
Oh, yeah, I know that guy. He follows me on Twitter.
Okay, here's Humberto.
Hey, Rob and Jess. Hope you're doing great and you had a great holiday. Just a simple question. Who from Survivor will do great on The Amazing Race? And who from The Amazing Race will do great in Survivor? Hope you're doing great. Love the podcast. Keep it up. Bye.
Okay, so... Humberto, who knew you were coming on here, Jess, he wants to know who from the Survivor would do great on The Amazing Race. I bet Boston Rob would do pretty well on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, I don't know where you would get that idea, but I strongly suspect he would do all right on The Amazing
I
Race.
bet Ethan and Jenna would probably struggle, though.
Yeah, I don't think Ethan and Jenna would be very good on The Amazing Race.
All right. Let's narrow it down to this season. Who from Survivor Blood versus Water? Let's take the 10 teams from Survivor Blood versus Water. Who would make the best Amazing Race team of the 10 pairs from Blood versus Water?
I really want to see Aris and Vetus.
They would be good.
Yeah, that's my vote.
Yeah, and they would fight, and I
Yeah.
think they have everything that it takes to be a good Amazing Race team. Now, the one team from this season I feel like which has campaigned a bit for Amazing Race. Do you know who I'm going to say?
I have a suspicion, but I want to hear it.
I think it's Team Hat. Hayden and Kat, I believe.
Yeah.
I see a very subtly. I've seen like Kat post on Facebook. Oh, the Amazing Race is so great! Wouldn't it be great to see us on?
So you're saying Hayden is going for the hat trick?
Well, they are Team Hat,
They are Team Hat.
so the hat trick would be appropriate.
Exactly.
So Hayden and Kat, how would they fare on the Amazing Race?
I honestly, I think they would actually do pretty well
Yeah.
because they're both very strong physical competitors, or at least relatively. Like Kat for her size is pretty good, and it's not a strong strategic game, so I feel like Kat would be a lot more comfortable and she wouldn't be upset. Plus, they get eliminated at the same time, so she can't be upset about, going out too early and, upsetting Hayden.
Yeah, I feel like a fair Amazing Race comparison of Hayden and Kat would be Team Texas from a couple of years ago.
Yeah. And they always need that young dating couple.
Yeah, test their relationship. There you
And
go.
honestly, if they had Hayden and Kat, I would root for them.
Who would be the worst team from Survivor Blood versus Water on the Amazing Race? Who would be the first ones out?
Well, that's a good
Or do the
question.
worst, if not the first one out?
I think Colton and Caleb would not do well.
Yeah, why do you say that?
Because I think Colton would
Quit.
show up in a foreign country and piss someone off and nobody would help them.
Yeah.
Like he'd yell at an airport counter person and he wouldn't make it out of LAX.
That's probably fair. I'm trying to think if anybody else would be particularly bad, but I feel like most of our returning players were pretty competitive. Yeah. All right. How would Tyson and Rachel fare?
Oh, I would love to see Tyson and Rachel. That
Yeah.
would be really fun.
Yeah,
I
Tyson
think
is
they do
actually
well.
pretty worldly, I think.
Yeah, and he's very smart, and I think open to anything, which is something you need on The Amazing Race.
There you go. All right, so let's go to Michelle from Long Island. Let's take her question. Take it away, Michelle.
Hey Rob, it's Michelle from Long Island. Do you think Tyson made a mistake not making some sort of speech at Tribal Council when he played the idol? Or do you think it's just as easy to smooth things over back at camp if people are upset with him? Just curious, since he did go look for the idol, find it, and keep the information that he had the idol from all of his allies, so it's pretty obvious that he was not going to be sharing that idol with any of his allies. Love to hear your thoughts. Bye.
All right, Jess, what do you think? Does Tyson need to do some damage control here?
I'm not sure because there's one factor that, he didn't make a production out of like how he got the idol or how long he's had it. For all everybody else knows, he could have dug it up like that afternoon and just played it to get it out of there. So I don't know how much people are going to be upset by it. I feel like everybody understands if they themselves had the idol, they might handle it a little differently.
Yeah, I think his allies will understand, and his non-allies were probably annoyed with him anyway. Going back to last season, where Malcolm had Reynold give him an idol when Malcolm had an idol, and Malcolm had to tell Reynold about that, and Reynold probably wasn't thrilled, but if somebody is your ally, then you kind of get over it.
Yeah, and it saved all of their asses for that one tribal council.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like, it's his idol, and everybody knows what Tyson is like at this point. They know he's not going to necessarily let it all hang out.
And I kind of feel like, part of me is like, okay, well, great. Now I know that the idol is back in play and I have a chance to find it in the next episode.
Oh, for sure.
So.
I gotta think Sierra is kind of kicking herself for burning the clue.
No, I don't think Sierra thinks like that. No regrets. Okay, let's go to Jared. And He has a question for us. Take it away, Jared.
Hey, Rob. My question is about splitting the money. It's always been against the rules, but obviously that has to be a little different this season with the married couples involved. I'm wondering whether they only modified the rule to allow the pairs to do it between themselves, at least to be fair. I think Kat actually mentioned something in this regard, but I don't remember whether it was on the show or in her exit interview. Or did they throw it out altogether, which would allow someone to, for example, vote out their mom and make a three-way or more split deal with other people? Thanks.
Yeah. Well, this is a good question here about splitting the money. So it used to be a big deal. You weren't allowed to do this. You weren't allowed to say to people in the final four, like, hey, let's just get to the final four and then we'll split the money up. You know, everybody gets 250K. But you have some unique relationships in this season. And let's specifically talk about Laura and Sierra. Could they say to each other before the game starts, hey, look, just one of us has to win and we'll split the money 50-50. And also, is this against the rules?
Well, I feel like they have to have suspended that rule because, you know, legally, if you're a married couple and you win, it's like you both won. And I feel like they had to have at least suspended it as far as the pairs. But I don't know that anybody has necessarily made a deal to split the money. Because everybody gets some money, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice payday, or at least nicer than you'd make working at home. And
well, it depends what you do.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's probably, you know, Brad Culpepper probably, he doesn't need $1 million.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you would have to, they'd have to make some concession here. Now, I don't know if, like, if they changed the contract or what, or they're just not talking about it. Or, you know, really, the dirty secret is they really have no way to enforce any of this. Like, if you were on Survivor and you went ahead and, like, you know, let's say, Jess, you and I are on Survivor, and we sort of say, hey, look, let's collude, and let's just get to the final two, and you and I, we're going to split the money. And, you know, after the fact, like, Survivor is never, like, going to go through your tax returns. And if I, you know, wrote you out for your birthday for the next 10 years a check for $50,000 and, you know, and gave you a birthday present for $50,000, nobody from CBS is going through my tax return and say, aha, I see what you did. You know, it really is like you're not supposed to do it. You're also not supposed to talk at Ponderosa about what you're going to do. What, you know, you're not supposed to collude for the votes at the end of the game. I mean, Tina bought Colby a Harley Davidson after Survivor Australia. Nobody had a problem with that. You know, it happens.
Yeah, it does. And they don't really, like, there are other subtler ways they can punish someone who doesn't do what they're supposed to with that kind of money.
Yeah.
Like people, I've heard rumors, and I don't know how true this is, but you've heard the thing about Sash in Nicaragua allegedly making a deal, and they didn't air any of it.
Yeah, I think it, what did he say, that he offered to pay Jane's mortgage? Or that's what she claimed he did, and that was a whole big thing?
Yeah, and then everybody in the final tribal council was like, Sash, you're an asshole, and I hate you, and nobody ever explained why.
Yeah. In my Survivor, and I think I've probably talked about this either at some point in the podcast or on the Survivor Amazon DVD commentary, there was some talk of collusion during Survivor the Amazon, and it was Heidi. And Heidi was, like, saying, like, during the game, she was, like, saying, like, hey, you know, it's me, you, Jenna, and Alex, and it doesn't even matter who wins the game, because once we get to the end, we're all going to be friends, and we could either just, like, split the money. And she was like, we should open up a Sonic, and we'll all own the Sonic. And I was like, I don't want to own a Sonic. With no all due respect to the fine people at Sonic, and maybe in hindsight being 2020, it wouldn't be such a bad idea to be business partners with,
you know, that franchise has grown a lot in the last 10 years, Rob. You might have missed out.
I might have missed out. And it wouldn't be such a bad idea to be business partners with Heidi Hamels at this point in time.
No kidding. She can buy all the Sonics she wants.
Yeah, I wonder if she owns any Sonics at this point. But you know, she was talking about how, like, we're going to own a Sonic together. I'm like, I don't want to own a Sonic. And so I told on her, and I told the producers. And I was like, Heidi's trying to get everybody to collude the money, and I don't want to do it. And so, like, they, like lined us all up, and, like, one of the executive producers was like, hey, we heard that there's been talk of people sharing the money, so knock it off. That's not allowed. You'll be removed from the game if we hear any more of this. And then, but I didn't tell anybody that I said anything at that time. But I didn't want to open a Sonic.
Yeah, I can't blame you. That seems like it would take up a lot of your time.
Yeah, I didn't want, you know, I said I want to spend the whole rest of my life making podcasts, not hamburgers.
Their podcasts didn't exist in 2003.
They weren't invented yet. They weren't invented for another year. All right. So let's talk about let's take Jordan's question, and he wants to give Hayden some props, and I do too. So here's Jordan.
Hey, Rob. It's Jordan from Vancouver. I just wanted to give Hayden some props. Even after he spoke with Sierra and thought she was on his side, he was able to read that she actually wasn't. And then not only that, but was able to, even for an instance, flip Tyson's mind to think about voting her out instead of either him or Caleb. Crazy? Yes. But it just about worked. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah. Now, Jess, as a first-time viewer of Hayden Moss, have you been impressed with his game, that you've never seen him from Big Brother?
Yeah, I mean, I know who he is on some level, and I think he's doing all right. I think right now he's not in the best position, but he does, as Jordan from Vancouver just told us, he is very good at reading people, and I think he's cultivated that skill on Big Brother, and I think it's helping him out a lot.
I didn't think he was doing too much so far through the game. You know, I thought he was sort of just hanging around, but this week he really, really impressed me. He did exactly what I would have done in that scenario. I said before this week, look, the plan has to be the four new people need to go and vote out Tyson. And they did that, and they went and they tried to get the votes together, and it should have worked. It should have worked. Like, there was no way to tell that Sierra was going to be such a wild card. She was going to go and tell Tyson the plan.
It's kind of ironic that the last time Tyson played, he made an idiotic move that ruined it for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's getting saved by an idiotic move that ruined it for everybody.
He's the beneficiary of,
yes,
of a move that is not so great. And by the way, Hayden Moss is not just doing well in Survivor. He's also hanging in there in Rob Has a Fantasy Football League 3. He's there at 6-6 on the cusp of the playoffs, much like on Survivor. He's right there. If the season ended today, he is in he's in 11th place, but it's very muddled in the middle. Not as good as Jervis, who's actually the number 4 seed right now in Rob Has a Fantasy Football League 3. So very, very interesting stuff. Yeah, but kudos to Hayden. I think he's done a great job, and the Big Brother fans were well served by Hayden representing them in this season of Survivor Blood versus Water.
Yeah, Hayden's playing the hand he was dealt, and he's doing pretty well.
He's doing pretty well. Okay, so let's take another question. Let's go to Benji, and he wants to talk about what went on at Red Eye this week. Benji.
Hey, Rob. Benji Glowinski here, a.k.a. Real BG Low from YouTube.
Real BG Low.
Just wanted to know what your thoughts were on the ranking of Vetus's shun of Laura's hug in terms of all-time shunned hugs on Survivor. There's the classic Coach being shunned by Boston Rob, by Rick,
Little Man Coach,
and by Stacey Powell on South Pacific and Heroes vs. Villains. Just thought it would be fun to rank those four. Love the show. Thanks.
Boy, Coach is the recipient of a lot of snubbed hugs.
That's a dubious honor.
Yes. So, Jessica, did you have in the all-time pantheon where Vetus's snub of Laura Moret's hug ranked in the all-time Survivor hug snubs?
Yeah, well, it was pretty cold. I got to say, I felt more hostility from this hug snub than any previous hug snub.
Whoa. You think, could this be number one all time?
Depending on how we're ranking them, if we're ranking them on terms of, like, icy coldness, then I'm saying, yeah, number one with a bullet.
Yeah. I feel like the one of Boston Rob and Coach from Survivor Heroes versus Villains is probably still a worse one. Because Boston Rob said, you know, followed it up with, he's snubbed, and then also said, you're a little man, Coach. And I know that cut Coach. He was very upset. It was cutting. It was a cutting and snubbing.
To the bone.
Yeah. All right. So maybe some of the commenters might have a worse hug snub in the history of the
show.
Well,
I'm thinking of there's been some handshake snubs too, haven't there?
Yeah. Give me some notable handshake snubs.
Like, I'm thinking, didn't Big Tom do a handshake snub in Survivor All-Stars?
Yeah. Did Boston Rob want to shake his hand at the finale? I think so.
Yeah. I'm kind of remembering that because I think he was kind of playing it for entertainment value and he just kind of came off looking really bitter.
Yeah. Well, that happens. It happens.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go into a good question from Brian from Indy. And let me just find that one. And he wants to talk about something that's been a through line through all of our reality TV shows this week. Which is cheating.
Hey, Robin, Jess, this is Brian Bosman from India again. First, a belated happy Thanksgiving to you and your families. Hope you both had a great day yesterday.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I wanted to relate a question back to Jess's wheelhouse, that being Amazing Race. In each of the last two episodes of Survivor and Amazing Race, we had someone, quote, cheat by helping another team or person that they liked or preferred to finish a challenge. Which was the worst cheating? Was it Tim and Amy helping? Was it Tim and Amy, or was it Laura Moret helping Tina? And along with that, which was the better strategic move for the person that helped? Was it better for Tim and Amy, or was it better for Laura Moret in the end? Thanks for all the great work, and we will definitely talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.
Now, just to clarify for Brian from Indy, it's Jason and Amy, right?
Yeah.
So just to, for you guys who don't watch The Amazing Race, so what happened this week on The Amazing Race was there was one team, Travis and Nicole, and they had to put this puzzle together, and they're a very self-righteous team, and they've talked about their integrity the whole leg of the race, and the woman, Nicole, could not put this puzzle together for anything, and she was really struggling, so then she was trying to cheat off of another team's completed puzzle. And one of the teams, you know, wouldn't let her cheat off of theirs. They ended up smashing the puzzle so she couldn't see it. And then another team who finished theirs stopped and helped them complete, basically told them exactly how to do it. Whereas there was a chance they might have been eliminated had they not been able to do it. Now, similarly, on Survivor Blood versus Water this week, we have Laura who ends up telling Tina how to put her puzzle together so she could beat Vita. So let's compare and contrast these two things from reality TV this week.
All right. Well, I think it's kind of cool how they lined up like that.
Yeah,
it's really fun. Honestly, I don't want to necessarily place a moral judgment on either one of these actions. I feel like if nobody stopped them, it was perfectly within the rules. But we can definitely give the strategic award to Laura, because I think it was a very good strategic move for her, and I'm not so sure it was good for Travis and Nicole.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It was like what Laura Moret did was, I'm going to help with all due respect to Tina, a lesser threat, even though Tina has won the game and Vetus obviously has not, but I'm going to help somebody who is less likely to win challenges at Redemption Island beat somebody who is more likely to win challenges at Redemption Island. Whereas on Amazing Race, Amy decided to help Travis and Nicole are a very good team. She helped them potentially save themselves rather than a lackluster team in the Ice Queens, who were probably not going to win the Amazing Race.
Yeah.
So
that's exactly it.
So interesting. Very, very, very interesting week on reality TV.
I feel like I gotta give it to Survivor for like setting up why that was such a terrible move on the Amazing Race. It just kind of gives you something to contrast. Like, here's when it makes sense and here's when it does not.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see more of this in these two shows? Like, is this becoming a thing now?
Yeah, I think. Well, I think especially since this season of Survivor has been so heavily revolving around people's relationships and their dynamics, and more so than any in a regular season, I think.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a lot more of that.
Do you think the shows like it? Will the shows respond and like have like dividers up where you have to stay in your area and you won't be able to look at it? Or they like it just because it creates more drama?
I think they like it because it creates more drama, because I feel like in the past, people have gotten in trouble for that. Like, didn't you guys talk about this a little bit with like Sophie and Albert? Didn't Jeff Probst tell him to not help her?
Right. So Steven says you can't physically help somebody, but you can go ahead and tell somebody something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, how could you stop them?
I guess you could say, hey, Albert, shut up.
Yeah. And you've had Jervis doing it to everybody all season.
Yeah.
It's like the one thing he does. He shows up and like tells people how to do challenges.
Sure. He shows up and tells people how to do everything.
Yeah.
We don't know where he goes in between.
I feel like he's got like his own private shack back in the woods.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of coconuts and he just kicks back. He's got a TV in there and
a trailer.
Yeah.
The Jervis trailer. We need
a good name.
It's got
a star on the door.
All right. Let's talk to Tyler. And Tyler, he has a song parody, and you can tell me, we'll play the gong show here. You can tell me when to gong him, okay?
I want to listen to the whole thing.
Okay, here you go. Here's Tyler.
Hey, Rob, it's Tyler from Boston, Mass., and I have a Survivor parody for you about Sierra's move on Wednesday's episode. The parody of Oils by Lourdes. My voice is kind of parody, but here goes nothing.
Okay, are you ready for this? So that it's a little, he talks a little fast. So yeah. This is a parody of the song Royals by Lordy. Is that how you say her name?
I'm not even sure I know this song.
Yes, okay. Oh, it's a very, very popular song. Okay, here we go.
Sierra's ever loyal, loyal. She don't touch the plan. The winning luck just ain't for her. Grave's coming in fair play. She tells Titans, me be your minion. You can call me messenger. And baby, I'll tell you. When a blind side's coming.
All right, there you go.
All right. Well, I think we ought to applaud his effort, because certainly I don't have the chops to come up with a song parody about things that happened on Survivor. So,
or Amazing Race.
Good for him.
Yeah. Tough to do a song parody, tough to do it a cappella, but I would say for future people who are going to do it, don't call in on the phone number, do it on robisawebsite.com/voicemail, because that's going to give you, it's going to be a little clearer, that's a better sound quality if you do robisawebsite.com/voicemail as opposed to calling in and using your phone as the microphone. So, but we applaud the effort, and you know, when you send me stuff like that, I'm going to play it. All right, so let's do one last voicemail, and this is from Brandon, okay? And he wants to talk about Sierra's shot to win the game.
Hey, Rob, it's Brandon from Wheaton, Illinois. Hey, I'm just wondering, do you think that Sierra may actually be in the second best position to win besides Tyson? She's down to 6 now, and it looks like she might dock the boat next week if it comes down to either Tyson or Hayden. If she makes it to 5 and her mom makes it back from competing, then suddenly there's 2 of them, probably Katie as well, and that's 3 out of the 6 votes. They could actually win this thing, and I would have to think that she would be able to talk to the jury and say that she's made some big moves in this game. Do you think that she has a great chance to win right now?
Okay, so what do you think? Does Sierra have the second best chance to win the game?
I don't think so. I don't know that she can win the game. And I think there's 2 reasons. And the first reason is she didn't try to get rid of Tyson. And Tyson is her number one. You guys spent a lot of time on that. Like, has the number two ever gotten rid of the number one? And I don't even think she is the number two, but I also think she's not going to get rid of Tyson. And that's the only way that she'd have a whisper of a prayer. And the other thing is, if I was on that jury, I think the only thing I would say when I got up to ask my question, I'd just look at her and I'd say, you voted out your own mother. You didn't even have to do it, and you voted for your own mother. That's cold. Like, there's going to be a bitter jury around that, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just a dick move.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing I could think of that in Sierra's mind is like, okay, well, everybody's going to be mad at Tyson and Jervis. So my mom is on the jury, and I'll say, hey, I'm a new player, and I'm in the final three against these returning players. Are you really going to give the money to people who have played two and three times before? I have two kids, give me the money. And I had a hard life.
What would be the ultimate poetic justice? Is if she made the final tribal council and her mother didn't vote for her.
Ooh, that would be very exciting. yeah. Ooh, very good. I like that. And there's no 0% chance that happens, but that's very exciting.
I would like that a lot.
Jess, I have so much to get to here from social media. The survivors, it was Thanksgiving and they were probably all home. They were very active on social media. I've got some feuds here, some tweets from the survivors. So let's jump into what survivors were saying on social media. Also this week, a lot of the survivors have been submitting their ballots for the Survivor Hall of Fame. Have you followed any of this?
Yeah, I've been following it a little bit.
Some interesting ones have come in. Russell Hance, I believe he nominated...
Boo, didn't he?
Well, he nominated Kim, Johnny Fairplay, and Boo, which I thought was interesting. And then Parvati, her ballot came in, and she nominated Kim. I can't remember who the other person was. Oh, Coach and Eliza. And she said, Eliza is the female Rob Cesternino.
I can buy that.
And Eliza's like, F you, Parvati. Eliza's like, that is not a compliment. But Eliza, here's Eliza on Twitter, who is one of my favorite people to report about on Twitter. She tweets the other night, that was the most BS, and I'm cleaning that up, Redemption Island I have ever seen. I mean, is that a joke? Should that be allowed? ? So she was not happy about that. And then she also tweeted, Sierra opened her mouth to screw herself. Yikes. Again, you're, all caps, never getting to the finals, girl. #Survivor. So, oh, man, I would love to be in the wine and cheese group and would just watch all the episodes with Eliza.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
I would love to get her running commentary from the episode because she's so emotional about it, even to Twitter.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's been to Tarkon a couple of times, and she's really fun to talk to.
Yes. If they had, like, Eliza commentary on the seasons, I would get that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to get her on a podcast one of these days?
You know, we had her on the podcast back in Survivor, Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
That was years ago now. You got to get her back again.
But I don't know if this vitriol translates to podcasting. I think it's great. It's much better in Twitter form.
Yeah, I buy that, but she's fun to talk to.
Yeah. She also says, I'm so, all caps, mad at Tyson, Jervis, and Sierra for eating instead of fighting for immunity. That'd be a deal breaker for me. You'd never have my vote. There's two things Eliza hates. She hates quitters, and she hates when people don't participate in the immunity challenge and choose to sit out and eat. Those are her two number one pet peeves.
Well, you know, I have to say I'm not with her on that one. I feel like if the immunity challenge was not something I was guaranteed to win, I'd just sit down and eat. Whatever.
Eat. Yeah. Eliza also tweeted, handsomest jury ever so far at Adas Music and at Vetus Yoga.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sucking up to the jury.
Yep, I'm enjoying the jury.
So, Adas Music tweeted, at Tyson Apostle, you were so gentle when you fed at Sierra Easton that sausage. I expect the same treatment come finale time. Hey-o.
Whoa.
Yeah. Penner.
This is a network show. It comes on during the family hour.
Penner tweeted, wow, had no idea it was a new episode tonight because I'm an effing idiot. Hiked, drank, brine turkey one, then marinated number two, and made vignettes equals moron. So Penner forgot to watch Survivor this week.
Well, I don't know what. I don't know what cable provider he's got, but we get it on demand here, so maybe it's not a lost cause.
Season pass, Penner.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or watch it online. Come on, you got so many ways. You don't have to catch it live. I almost never do.
And there may be a thawing, much like Penner's turkey, in the feud between Penner and Rachel Folger, who tweeted, really having at Survivor Penner withdrawals tonight.
Oh, that warms my heart. I didn't like seeing them fight.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to the fighting in a minute. Russell Hance gets us kicked off. He tweets, at Laura Moret, great social game, LMFAO. Hashtag sarcasm.
You know, if you have to hashtag it, maybe you need to work on coming across a little more effectively.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so at Tyson Apostle says, fun fact, the day of this show is my birthday, June 17th. So happy Survivor birthday to Tyson.
All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Okay. Yeah. And let's see. Let's get to some fighting. Okay. So, again, this fight is going to start off with Eliza. And the fight starts off. So Eliza says, okay, it's one thing to cheat off someone, but should someone who just completed the challenge be allowed to coach? Hashtag Survivor. And then a fan says, it happens a lot now. And despite Vetus's bitterness, he could hear as well or rush over to look. So it's not cheating. And then Eliza says, no, he couldn't. He had to stay and work on his puzzle. Remember when Albert wasn't allowed to help Sophie write at Vetus Yoga? And now here comes Laura Moret. And she says, at Vetus Yoga, he could and was looking too, but that's not cheating. V was telling Kat how to do her puzzle. Was that not cheating? So getting a little heated where Vetus is being accused of helping Kat in her puzzle against Laura Moret. So now here comes Vetus, and he says, I never said a word to Kat. Let it go, girl. Survivor Wednesday is over. Thanksgiving is here. Peace and love. So
I was hoping for another namaste, bitches.
Namaste, bitches. Yeah. Yes. So, and then Laura Moret says, sorry, I was just trying to get caught up in your million tweets about it. You're right. This could take all night. Bonjour. Oh, so Laura Moret tweeting in French.
Doesn't that mean hello?
I don't know. It's not like aloha or shalom?
No. Namaste? I don't believe so.
Yeah. Okay. Bonjour, bitches. How about that?
I like that.
Yeah. And so that's very good. Let's see. Vetus then later on said, was I a little bitter when my game ended? Of course. I'm not going to pretend. But in the end, it was the game. I lost. Kudos to the others. I like when people ask themselves rhetorical questions then answer them on Twitter.
Yeah, I do too. I use that device a lot in the blog.
Yes. Yes. And when I played Survivor, Alex Bell used to do that a lot of like ask himself questions and then answer them. Like, do I want to do this? Yes, I do want to do this. It's a good lawyer move. So Sierra then tweets back to Vetus, a little bitter, 3 question marks. LOL, you stole our blanket or salt and pepper and our mosquito net. Well, did he steal her blanket or his salt and pepper?
Maybe salt stole all of them?
No, she said, you stole our blanket or salt and pepper and our mosquito net.
Well, maybe they're all missing, and she assumes
she's
that.
Like, and Vetus said, "I've stolen at least one of your items." yes,
you have to guess which one it is and where I have hidden it.
Yes,
I mean, it gets pretty boring out there, does it not?
Yeah,
you got to entertain yourself.
So
somehow.
I guess Vetus must have known he was going to get voted out and put the stuff in his backpack.
Yeah, he could have.
Yeah, and
he could have done that before.
Because then he tweets, "Yep, but your mom was grateful she had comfort at Redemption Island." That sounds like an insult.
It sounds like a your mom joke.
Yeah. And then
that's one thing that they're missing on this season is you need a lot more of that's what your mom said. Yeah. Well, that's really what she said.
And so now here comes Laura Moret. Laura Moret is like the one, she always comes in and piles on and whatever conversations people are having. She jumps in and says, don't bring me into your actions. I've been to Redemption Island before and came back just fine without taking things. So, Laura Moret does not want to be associated with Vetus. And then somebody asked, what did he steal besides, other than the blanket? And Sierra says he stole spices, a mosquito net, blanket, bowls, and spoons. And Vetus, I don't even know if this is interesting anymore. Vetus said, I simply took...
It's degenerating rapidly.
So there's no love lost between Vetus and Sierra. That's definitely tense.
That's the takeaway.
Yeah. Unrelated to the episode, Ali Pohovitz and Russell Hantz are both trying to drum up people to send in their tapes for Survivor casting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I don't know if Ali Pohovitz works in Survivor casting now.
Well, they do that a lot. There's quite a few people that have been on various shows that now work. Some of them freelance for Lynn Spillman and some of them work more full time.
Yeah, and it tends to be, it's like, if you didn't make the merge, nobody wants to date you, but apparently Lynn Spillman has a job for you.
You know, honestly, I would date someone who worked in Survivor casting. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of raises your credit.
All right. All right. So I think I'm going to I think this is a good spot to wrap it up. I think I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I didn't mention here. Great job by Amy H for putting this all together over the holiday weekend. But yeah, I think that's a good spot. So, Jessica, you and I are going to reconnect on a special time this Sunday night for the only two episodes left of The Amazing Race. This Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time, we will recap the penultimate episode of Amazing Race 23.
Yep. I'm excited for that.
Yes.
It's going to be a good episode.
It's going to be good down to the final four. So join us live on robiswebsite.com. Just, is there anything else that you wanted to get out there about Survivor Blood versus Water?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm enjoying the season. I'm enjoying the podcast a lot.
Oh, well thank
you.
Like, I
love it when there's like a 3-hour podcast for me to listen to at work the next day. Yep. It's like Christmas.
It's almost Christmas.
It is almost Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, Jess, good job not getting trampled today on Black Friday.
I didn't leave the house. You have to leave the house to get trampled.
No, you definitely don't. So good job. And then I'll talk to you on Sunday night for Amazing Race.
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on the show, Rob.
All right. Take care, Jess.
All right. Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. That was Jessica Leese here with me talking some Survivor here on a Thanksgiving weekend. All right. So we have got a lot here to do in the next couple days here. Well, let me just tell you one more time. Amazon.com. That is the place to go for all. Look, people are seriously getting hurt and worse going out for these Black Friday and holiday shopping. Stay home. Listen to podcasts. Watch TV, enjoy time with your family, and save yourself a lot of aggravation. Shop online. Go to, for Black Friday deals all weekend long, robhasawebsite.com/Black Friday. And then all next week, the Cyber Monday deals then go in full force on Amazon. Go to robhasawebsite.com/Cyber Monday. When you use those links, you, of course, support Rob as a podcast. You go to the homepage of all the deals for that day, and you get a chance to save yourself some money and a lot of aggravation. You get shipping, too, when you spend over $25 on a lot of items on Amazon.com. So, of course, either use those links or you can go to the regular robhasawebsite.com/Amazon anytime. But that doesn't take you to the Black Friday or Cyber Monday homepages. So thanks to you guys who are getting ahead of the game and doing your holiday shopping early. All right, so we have got a lot coming up. Also, if you're a football fan, check out my weekly podcast with Terrell Owens. You can go to Getcha Podcast Ready, GETCHA podcastready.com. Listen to us talk about football every single week. All right, so we have a very big week coming up here. Starting on Sunday, we're going to do a doubleheader of podcasting. For you guys who like the Sunday night TV, we're going to podcast about Amazing Race and Walking Dead back-to-back. So our Amazing Race podcast, the penultimate episode of Amazing Race, they're going to eat a king cobra, and we're going to talk about it. That's going to be at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday night. And then at 11 p.m. Eastern, Josh Wigler and I are going to recap the Walking Dead mid-season finale. So that's going to be at 11 p.m. Eastern if you want to join us live. If not, or if you can't stay up that late, those podcasts will be available for you guys on Monday morning when you go back to work. So on Monday as well, we are going to have an interview with Vetus. And again, unfortunately, that my work schedule doesn't allow me to do an exit interview on a Monday morning. So Josh Wigler is going to fill in for me, so he will have our interview with Vetus, and maybe at some point down the line, I'm sure that I can connect with Vetus as well. So check out our Josh's interview with Vetus. That's going to be on our feed. You everything that you would do normally to listen to it, it'll be up on robasawebsite.com and in the feed. So don't worry about anything with that. It'll just be with Josh doing the interview on Monday morning. That's going to be up by Monday afternoon, our interview with Vetus. And then we'll have Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night. Now, I said last week I thought Stephen Fishback was actually going to not be with us, so I think this is the week Stephen Fishback is actually not going to be with us, so I'll be working on a fill-in host for Survivor Know-It-Alls. But on Thursday, next to final regular episode of Survivor of the Season, we will have another great guest return to Rob as a Podcast. It's been over a year since I talked to this guy. Boston Rob will be back to talk about his buddy Tyson and what he thinks about Survivor 27 here with me on Rob Has a Podcast. So it's going to be a lot of fun talking blood versus water with the BR. He will be back here on Rob Has a Podcast. That's going to be next Thursday. So another big week of podcasts coming up. Very excited to do it all. Very thankful as well for what I get to do, and really thankful that we have so many great listeners out there who listen to the whole show and have comments and all sorts of things. It makes it it's a very, very fun thing for me to get to do every week with you guys. So I hope you guys are enjoying the shows too. I will talk to you guys again soon. We want to hear from you in the comments. Have a great weekend, and all the best, everybody. Bye.